And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. Thank you to Mitchell Spean, the star of The Bottom Line. We just had a great discussion on The Bottom Line and what are some of the influences that affect The Bottom Line for people and businesses. And if you want to hear the archive show on that, go to The Bottom Line on www.breakradioshow.com. And now, one of my favorite shows, The Green Roundtable, starring Eric Koss and Frank Clementi. Guys, how are you?
Good. How are you doing,
Dave? We're doing well, Dave.
Very good. Last time you said it at the same time. This time you had a sequence going. You started like the domino effect.
Yeah, like click and clack, right?
Well, I don't know who's click and who's clack.
Good question.
No, that's a quack up. Okay, anyway, that wasn't even funny. So we got an interesting show today. Eric, we have some quizzes that you're going to give Frank and myself.
Yeah, we're going to do some sustainability quizzes, some top 10 lists, as you will. Hopefully they won't be quite as funny as David Letterman's top 10, but we'll do our best.
There we go. So let's before we go, let's identify gentlemen. Eric, we know Eric is Eric. Eric Koss, Koss Design and Build.
Yep, I'm the owner of Koss Design and Build and Koss Design, and we're an architecture and construction company. We focus on sustainable design and building.
Excellent. And Mr. Flank, I said Flank.
Flank.
Mr. Flank, Frank Clementi.
Sustainable landscaping.
No way.
Yes.
When did you change that? I'm kidding.
We use rainwater harvesting, permaculture, and organics.
Wow, that is pretty cool. And you guys are the real McCoy. You're not like the greenwashers that change jobs just to make money. You have been solidly entrenched in the green movement from your heart and soul. That's what I like.
That is true.
For many, many years.
Yes.
Frank, a few more years than me.
Yes.
Just a few.
Yeah, we need a calculator. Okay, so let's go for the top 10.
A computer, bro.
Yeah, probably. And Einstein to do the calculation. Okay, so what we have is the top 10 sustainable countries, right?
Yes, we're going to look at the top 10 most sustainable countries in the world according to Carbon Pig.
What is Carbon Pig?
Carbon Pig's one of numerous sort of quote-unquote sustainable, websites that are interested in promoting ideals of being sustainable, green products, lifestyle issues, all that sort of thing, all bundled up under that sustainability umbrella.
Really?
And Frank and I were just talking about it. You know, their name is Carbon Pig. They have this cute little green cartoon pig as their logo. And then strapped to his back is this rocket shooting these huge flames out the back, which just makes me, you know, he should be on a solar electric jetpack, not a, you know,
not an oil or a fossil fuel system.
Now, just to show you my integrity, I typed in sustainable countries and Carbon Pig came up, but I immediately put the screen down. You see? There's
yes,
no screen.
Yes, I noticed that.
So I didn't see anything.
So immediately after you read the list, you turned the screen off.
No, I didn't read it. All I saw was Carbon Pig, and I believe you. There's actually a Carbon Pig out there. You know, we've heard of chauvinist pigs. No, I'm not talking about you. What, chauvinist pig? No, we've heard of different types of pigs, right?
There's what? There's potbelly pigs.
There's chauvinist pigs.
There's...
And then there's the pigs that you use to... for fires.
Fires? What
fire
is that?
Pigs.
What, yeah, is fire pig.
Pigs in a blanket?
Oh, I've heard of that. That's at IHOP.
Yeah.
That's a sausage and a pancake.
That's the best tasting pig. Well, bacon's really the best tasting
pig.
Yeah,
that's right. And I did say something about the difference being committed versus involved on our last show. Let me do this quiz for you. Ooh. What's the difference between being committed and involved?
I think when you're involved, you're just taking part in some way, shape, or form. But when you're committed, it's kind of part. You have a real stake in it.
Yeah. And Mr. Frank?
Well, being involved is when you go to the football game and you sit there and you watch it. And being committed is when you go out there and you play the game.
Oh, okay. Both good definitions. How about this one?
Oh, wait. Oh, maybe I remember this. Isn't it...
You
it's like
this?
The chicken that lays the egg is involved, but the chicken for dinner is committed.
No.
Something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, the chicken is involved. The pig is committed.
There you go.
In an egg and bacon breakfast.
I was close.
You said when you have a steak in it, so it was really steak, beef versus...
Yeah, that was more of a cow joke, I think.
Yeah, that was a good cow. Anyway, I'm proud of you. You remembered that one.
Half of it.
Yeah, but you were right there. So, okay, so... Let's do it. Let's start guessing. Or you want to give some hints, or should we just start guessing? I have a guess. Can I say my guess?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Guys, three guesses each.
I'm going to say in the top 10.
We're going top 10.
Germany.
Okay, now it is Frank's turn.
He's not telling
Germany.
Me. Oh, wait, no, I said Germany.
You can. I can say Germany,
no,
too.
No, Judge.
No.
Well, it's my personal belief.
But you can't say the same guess.
But we're going to let you do two in a row before we go back.
That's good.
That way, you know.
All right, Frankie. We'll call him Frankie.
Well, I'm not going to talk about Japan because they just had a blast over there.
Oh, yeah. You're probably right.
Anyway,
dun, dun, dun. This is called dead
France.
Air. Okay, you France. Want France, and you get a second
you
one.
You get a second one. We're going to give you three.
Canada.
All right, now we're back to Dave.
Australia. Good one, huh? I bet that's a good one.
I bet you Frank's kicking himself right now. He was just telling me about Australia earlier.
I said that in the conversation.
Oh, yeah, right. We don't have proof, so it won't. Unless you have a tape, you can prove it. So,
Dave, one more?
Oh, I get two. Okay, so I said Germany and Australia, Frank, France, and Canada. I think the Canada was pretty good. I think Australia's better. let's see. I'm going to go.
Better than what?
Better than winning
than
this game. Let's see. I think, we got Germany. I don't even know all the countries.
You don't know.
Australia.
Yeah, Africa.
This is going to turn into a geography lesson.
I'm going to say, this is a wild guess. I'm going to say, Great Britain. That was silly, wasn't it?
Maybe not.
I don't know. I'm just taking a stab at this. Okay, you get two.
Oh, he gets one.
Oh, you got one. Sorry.
Oh, I get one.
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
Anytime, like today?
We hear you breathing.
People
know
can
you're
tell
there.
They haven't had a lot of pre-thought, obviously, on this
no
one.
No pre-thoughts on this
Well,
one.
I'm just sick. I'm traveling over the globe and looking at the different...
At least you know the globe. He has an advantage already.
My only hint on this one is don't overthink these countries.
Yeah.
Brazil.
Wow,
that's so interesting.
Okay, here
why.
We go.
Oh, so that's it? We got three?
That's it. You each get three.
Okay.
And we'll see. All you want to do, we'll give you five. Two more, Frank.
No, what? He gets one more. He said Brazil. He gets one more. I get two more. Well, that's
what
oh,
is
you're
this?
Right.
Who's
you're
running
right.
this show?
I am. Okay, so here we go.
One more, Frank.
One more.
One more. New Zealand.
Ooh, nicely said.
All right. Now you get two, Dave, and then we'll finish up with Frank.
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to go, New Zealand. I'm going to go Sweden.
I thought you were going to say Cuba.
Is that a country? No, I'm kidding. That's near Florida. Are you kidding me? I'm going to say California. No, I'm just teasing. That would not win. Sweden and, I know. Is Amsterdam? What is Amsterdam?
That's in Holland.
Netherlands.
No, Holland. Holland.
All right, one more for you, Frank.
That's a bad guess.
I'm part of this country. My mother is part Finnish.
Mexico. Oh, you're Finnish.
So yes. Finland.
I didn't know you were Finnish.
Not quite.
You will be after this one. Okay.
All right. So you each got five. So between the two of you, we've got 10 countries selected.
Oh, this is
number
exciting.
Number 10. Well, here we go.
Oh, 10.
Before we do that, this is from Carbon Pig. And we are looking at what they did. They did their environmental performance index. And they looked at 163 countries based on 25 stringent sustainability performance indicators.
Oh.
So they tried to make this scientific. Every country got a score. And the top 10 scores got the top 10 countries.
Wow, neat.
Number 10.
Starting from the bottom.
Starting from the bottom. Working our way up. Number 10 is, I would have never have guessed this one. Colombia,
yeah,
with a score of 76.8.
That's coffee though.
No, that's drugs.
Oh yeah, forget. Yeah.
You got there the wrong go. Coffee, Dave.
I would know coffee. You know drugs. Okay, there we go.
They boast being the second most biologically diverse country in the world. Therefore, managing the sustainability of Colombia, according to Carbon Pig, is a key priority for the entire planet. And apparently they're doing an excellent job of managing their forests, their biodiversity, and so that's how they kind of creeped in here at number 10.
Nice.
Number 9 is kind of funny.
Oh.
Cuba.
What?
It actually is 78.1.
See, I said Cuba.
Yeah, but you told me to guess Cuba.
Well, you didn't do it.
I know. I can't believe it. I'll believe you next time.
Yeah. I mean, most people wouldn't think of Cuba being sustainable, but they have a very persistent management for natural resources. And apparently in 1981, they came out with a law called Law 33, which started a long process of transforming all of their environmental concerns and issues and bringing them to the forefront and really taking hold and managing them. And that's helped them over the last 30 years or so.
Interesting. Forward thinking, evidently, it seems like. Why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we will mention the next eight that we have. And we'll see. Does Frank win? Does Dave win? We should have people text us.
Is there a prize?
Yeah. What's the prize, Frankie?
A trip to one of the countries.
Who's going
to
pay?
The sponsors.
Okay. Yeah. Commit the sponsors. Why not? Okay.
Next time it's going to have to be a call-in.
Yes. That would be great. And we'll be right back.
Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Green Roundtable every first Tuesday of the month from 3 to 4, starring Eric Koss and Frankie Clemente. Change your name to Frankie because I like the Godfather.
Actually, my name is Fandango Frank.
Wow.
I don't even know what that means. Is that appropriate to say in there?
What is Oh, it's from like a Queen song is what I'm thinking of.
Oh, it is? Okay, you've been called the queen. Okay, so anyway, no, I love that song, though, some of their songs. Remember Queen? Lady.
A little bit.
Lady someone, lady, what was that song?
I don't know, it was before my time.
Oh, yes, that's right. We're still getting the calculator out. Okay, so, okay, number, we started, we have Colombia number 10, Cuba number 9.
Number 8.
This is the most sustainable countries.
Most sustainable countries, Austria.
Austria?
That's close to Australia, Dave.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Oh, that's interesting.
One of the things they mention in here is most sustainable countries share one thing in common, and that is being small. It seems like one of the traits is the smaller the country is,
the
fewer resources they had to begin with. Within their history and their culture, it's been sort of embedded to be more careful about the resources they have and they do get and really try to control them and manage them well.
Interesting. So not high consumption over everything, unlike certain countries we know.
Exactly.
Without any names.
Yeah, without naming names. One of the things they talk about is how it's 84,000 square kilometers, and almost 50% of that is pure forest. And to think about a country as old as Austria is, to have managed their forest
that
well.
And I've been to Austria.
Are there werewolves there? Is that the one?
No.
Where is that? Oh,
that's Transylvania.
Transylvania.
Oh, yeah. Have you been there?
They didn't make the list.
No, they didn't.
Vampires are not very sustainable at all. They would just consume everything if they could.
They don't need gas. They need blood.
Yes.
Okay, Twilight.
It's cheaper.
Yeah, well, it depends what country you're going to. Okay, so we got Colombia, Cuba, Austria.
Number 7. France.
Frank takes the lead over me. Number 7.
Yes, he does.
How are we going to score this? Is it by pure numbers?
The competitive nature getting out.
For example, let me just mention this. Is that if, let's say I had the number 1 at Germany. I don't know.
Yeah, let's just assume you had
that's
number 2.
That's got to be worth 10 points.
What we'll do is your first country is worth 5 points, your second 4. 3, 2, 1.
But we got to weight it by
the
top country should be worth.
Oh, okay. So the country gets their point value on the list.
Yeah, but opposite. So number 1 gets 10.
Right. So France is 7. So Frank would get a 3.
You got a 3 point.
Oh, come on.
This is so exciting.
Yeah,
I love this.
You like how we just make these games up as we go?
These are really good games. So you got 3 points.
Don't worry, Frank. By the very end, if he's losing, he'll be like, and then whoever gets the last one right wins it all.
Exactly. I like that approach. Okay.
Well, let's see. France, one of the funny things about France was it was very controversial on the list because they have a huge nuclear program. They get almost all their energy from nuclear power plants, which is a controversial way to get it. That being said, it's reduced their emissions from fossil fuel greatly. So they have the air in France was extremely high for the ecosystem and humans' air consumption as well because of that. So it was really helping them on one side, but it was hurting them a little bit on the other side.
Interesting.
So France comes in at a 78.2. Number 6. This is a tough one for me. I guess it is Mauritius.
What is that?
Mauritius, yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
80.6, number 6.
Wow. How do you spell that? Mauritius.
That's a small little country.
Yeah, they call it the overachiever in the environmental market.
Wow, how come I didn't pick that? I didn't even know it existed. No wonder.
Yeah, either did I.
Mauritius.
Basically, it said in terms of environmental performance, it scored really high in how they manage their fisheries, forests, agriculture, all of that. They're so small and so limited that they've just done a great job of managing what little resources they have.
Interesting. Frank is still in the lead, 3-0.
Yep, 3-0. Number 5, 81.1, Norway. So close to
Sweden.
Right next door.
I was going to say that.
Just down the block from Finland.
Oh, darn. Norway. I was going to say that. But I was thinking of the girls of Sweden. I thought they would, you know.
You couldn't get the Swedish bikini teams out of your mind.
Yes. Oh, that teaches me.
Well, the big thing about Norway was they scored, obviously, really highly in a lot of areas. But what Carbon Pig points out is when you look at Norwegian society, they basically use, they're a huge oil producer, but they use very little of it themselves. They almost export it all. They're big into hydro technology for getting electricity. They're big into solar. They're doing all these things where they're selling all their oil, and because of that, it's made them a really rich country. They're managing their resources well, but because of their wealth as a country, some statistics say they're number 1 in the world, they are turning into major consumers. So the average Norwegian is trying to get more and buy things from around the world and just reach out on this global economy. And because of that, they're afraid that Norway won't be able to sustain their high ranking.
Oh, geez.
That's exactly yes. right.
I'm going to make a prediction now. I think I'm going to win. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Germany and Australia, I think they're going to come in still. And that's high points. Okay, that's my prediction.
All right. You got any predictions there, Frank?
No, how about you, Frank?
No, I'm just a listener.
Oh, no, you're a contestant here.
No, I'm listening.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, number four. With a score of 86.0, Sweden.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think. I'm really excited. I got 6 points. It's now 6-3, Frankie.
It is. It's 6-3.
Wow.
Sweden was number four on the list.
Okay, you can give up now and pay off at half price.
No, I ain't getting that. Ain't
right?
Getting
there's
no
a
more.
Game show. Like let's make a deal.
You can take what's behind the curtain?
Yeah. Wow, 6-3. I'm so excited.
You're trying to bait me with a third level of knowledge, you know, the third level of what you don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Get me into that one.
Okay, it's working. Okay.
So here we go. Sweden was awarded it for top-notch points for environmental health, forestry, and water management. That was the big thing. They have an ambitious goal of being net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. And the other thing they pointed out was most countries have one or two sections of the government that sort of manage being sustainable and the environmental factors. And Sweden has the Ministry of the Environment, the Swedish Environmental Protection Agency, the Swedish Chemicals Agency, the National Board Housing, Building, and Planning, who's in charge of land management, and the Environmental Objectives Portal. So they're putting a lot of energy into being environmental.
That is incredible. Wow.
That's fantastic.
All right, 6-3.
I think we need a drum roll.
There's three countries left.
Here we go.
Number three, with a score of 86.4, Costa Rica.
Oh, you're kidding. I hear that's nice out there.
I haven't been there, but I hear it is as well.
Yeah, they have good medical, I heard, and Costa Rica.
10,000 species of plants and over 800 species of butterflies.
And a lot of women, I hear.
I don't know how many we've got there. I don't have those facts, but we can get back to you on that one, Dave. So we're at number two.
Okay, I know I'm going to get one of these.
Number two with a score of 89.1.
Don't say Canada. Don't say it. Here we go.
Switzerland.
Oh, I should have thought
of that. It's all those countries, Scandinavian countries.
Yeah, again, they're talking about these older countries that are smaller. They didn't have major resources, so they've had to manage these.
I think Frank's going to win.
Oh,
I think you're going to get Canada. I don't think Australia. Well,
he's got Finland as well.
Oh, no. Oh, no. My only hope is probably Australia.
That's your hope.
I thought Germany, but they're sort of big.
You sound pretty desperate for a guy that's in the lead right now.
Yeah, but it's only 6-3. We only have one left. We could be in.
And this one's worth 10 points.
Oh, that's it. Whoever gets it. Or if no one gets it, then I win. But I,
yeah,
I
you
think
win
you
if
might.
Gets it.
I think you're going to lose.
Okay, we're going to change the rules one more time.
Oh, no.
Nobody guessed it.
Really?
So we're going to give you each one last guess.
Ooh, no one guessed
it. You got to go first the very first time, so Frank gets to go first this time.
No one guessed it. Oh, jeez.
Argentina.
Whoa.
Nice try.
Did not expect that one?
I don't even know where it is, Argentina. Oh, yeah, that's where they sing. Madonna sang it.
That's right.
I knew that one. Don't forget me, Argentina, or something.
Right, that's why I didn't.
Oh, okay, so.
One more.
Oh, this is tough. I just don't know all these little countries. How many little countries are there?
There's a lot.
Hey, you don't even know one. You went over it.
How about, let's see. Okay, Argentina, South America. No, you can't say that.
I got another one.
No, but you only get one.
All right, you got to lay it out there.
What's some countries in, how about...
Come on. Come on.
Okay, how about...
Frank gets another guess in 5 seconds
okay.
if you don't
Bolivia.
Spit one out.
Yeah, that one. I wanted to say that. But I'm going to say Spain. That's the only thing I know.
Yeah, Spain.
All right, here it is.
I think that's...
Number one, another Scandinavian country.
Yeah. Oh.
Iceland.
Oh, I should have thought. I knew that one.
The Iceland. Inuit.
Low, yes, they had a score. What did they have? They had a score of 93.5, the only country to get in the 90s.
Oh, God.
Low environmental burden of disease, low air pollution, high water quality for both humans and ecosystem, pristine forest, effective management.
Oh.
And the biggest thing that I sort of found funny about all this is they were the number one rated country in terms of being sustainable, yet their economic situation is on the verge of collapse
there
right
you
now.
Are. Oh, the banks. I
yeah,
heard.
I mean, yeah. They could be in the running for the worst economic situation of any developed country. So,
well, did Germany or Australia come in at all in the top 25?
Not in the top 10.
Canada?
Nope.
Oh.
And again, I've only got the top 10. They did 163 countries.
Oh.
I'm sure a lot of those, I know France, or actually, yeah, France was already in there. I'm sure Canada had to be close.
Oh.
Based on what's in here, Finland had to be really close. Holland had to be very close. I'm guessing United Kingdom or Great Britain was, and Australia and Germany as well. So I bet you guys hit the top 20 pretty well.
So who won? Tell us who won.
The winner of this year's top 10 most sustainable countries competition is Dave Isaac.
All right.
Yes,
I did it.
But because hosts of the show are not allowed to win. Apparently, you're
we
both
changed the rules.
You're both disqualified, and
but
and
it was
win.
A lot of fun.
Yes.
I liked it, and thank you so much, Eric. That was excellent.
No problem.
You are a very good game show host.
I'm working on it,
and no doubt. And let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got a special guest, and this is the Green Roundtable, starring Eric Koss and Frankie Clemente. Do you like it when I say Frankie?
That's fine. You know,
wait, we're taking a break now. You're still talking? All right, we'll be right back.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches. 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hirschberger Assisted Living Home for the Elderly, whether it's a need to recuperate after surgery or just need daily assistance to enrich their life, you can trust that your loved one is being well cared for. Our caregivers are fully licensed by the Arizona Department of Health. An experienced team of professionals provide expert medical care, including physical, occupational, and recreational therapy, wound care, medication management, nutritional support, and personal care. All faiths are welcome. Hirschberger Assisted Living Home, founded in 1997, will provide your loved ones a quality of life with loving care. Call Shirley Hirschberger today at 602-314-6937. That's 602-314-6937, or visit the website ahomewithshirley.com. Hirschberger Assisted Living, home is where the heart is.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Green Roundtable, starring none other than Eric Koss and Frankie Clemente. All right, Frank Clemente.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay. I sound like Elvis when he said that. Thank you, Dave. That's
thank
what
you very much.
Yeah. Now, Eric, you got a great guest coming on. I think he's on the line right now.
Yeah, I think we got Ken Stout with Stout Precision Development. Hey, Ken, are you there?
Good, Eric. How are you doing today?
I am doing good. I'm glad you could join us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, Ken is someone I've worked with a little bit in the past. We've done a few projects here and there. We're doing one that we're working on together. And actually, Ken helped me out with a project we did way back when. Well, not way back when, but I guess maybe 3 years ago, we did a pro bono project for the Arizona Science Center.
Right.
And that was a project in conjunction with the Phoenix Green Chamber of Commerce. And there was a lot of people in the community that got involved. But basically, everybody got involved, gave their time. And Ken was great because he not only gave his time, but also some materials to basically put these exhibits and projects together. And that was one of the first projects that we'd worked directly on together. We've done some other stuff maybe indirectly. But Ken, he's going to help us talk a little bit today about, well, tell us a little bit about your company and what you guys do first.
We've been in business since 1994, and we are primarily a rough and trim carpentry contractor for high-end custom homes in Phoenix marketplace.
All right. And so one of the things we talk about in this show is we get into design and construction a little bit, and maybe what's sustainable and what isn't, and different people's opinions. And one of the things, you know, we were talking about a little bit earlier today is in terms of some of the lumber companies out there and, you know, the suppliers, the companies, the mills that are supplying the product or the supplies and the materials for all these houses that have been going up in the valleys. What have you seen from them in terms of sustainable practices over the years and what's going on in that field?
Thanks for asking. I've actually had a chance to go up to the Northwest United States and tour a couple mills and understand how they're doing sustainability. And it's interesting as I was listening to you guys in the show, the highest rated countries of sustainability, I would think these larger corporations would be nearing 100% for sustainability and what they're able to accomplish. And learning how they're managing their forests and taking care of their commodity, I learned that they treat timber and forest similar to what farmers treat their crops. They have a cycle, and forest is on a 50-year life cycle. So every 50 years, they rotate their crops and harvesting their commodities. So they're always regenerating what they're using up in with 49 years ahead thinking.
Right. So they've basically figured out that they can't just rip a forest apart and move on to the next one because eventually there's not going to be a next one.
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. Yep. So and that's one of the biggest differences I think you see with, you know, countries like kind of the countries we just looked on the list. A lot of the developed countries are managing their forests. They know how important these natural resources are. When you go into some of Central America, some of South America, and some of Asia even, that's when you start to see some of these crazy practices of just slowly just treading up and crunching and ripping through the forests, taking everything out of them and really leaving nothing behind.
Right. Clear cutting hasn't been in practice in the U.S. for many decades. That's because of that very reason. They're limiting their own possibly down the road with not forward thinking like that. So, and then not just only in managing the forest they have, but also in the actual mill process, absolutely none of the material that goes through a mill is wasted. It's through the use for building products that we would experience or might go to paper manufacturers with a pulp material, but there is absolutely no waste because the more dollars and cents they're able to pull out of a tree, the better bottom line. So it bodes for them well to get 100% use out of every material that comes out of the mill.
So this is Frank speaking. What is the, from the builder's standpoint, what practices do you have that sort of mirror that at the construction site and then during the construction process?
Thanks, Frank. The trends that are coming up would be efficiency of materials that are put into homes, primarily for rough carpentry. In the past, we would see the more material in the home, the more it seems to be a higher quality, better quality product. The trend now seems to be in place that through engineering and different methods that reducing the amount of material that go into structural walls, interior walls, that the less material in the wall, the better the spot right now. So it's trying to change mindsets from what we had in the past into more of the environmentally friendly way of thinking. So that's a trend that seems to be in place right now.
So what are there a couple things you guys actually do on the job site that's sort of an example of that?
On a small scale, yes, we would go to like 24-inch on centers for interior walls, so in the past have been 16-inch on center. We wouldn't be putting load-bearing headers in walls that are actually not load-bearing any longer, and things like that, miscellaneous pieces of backing that might have to go in for sheetrock. Those pieces are being eliminated. So on a small scale it is, but probably for the next generation, we're probably going to see a lot more, I know we'll see a lot more movement towards material efficiency in wall construction.
Is there a, in this, getting back to the forestry and the growing of plants, I call that succession planting.
Mm-hmm.
Has that improved the structural strength of the wood, or is it still pretty much the same? Are they fertilizing it in a certain way to increase the strength of the material, or are they, you know, what's going on in that area as far as the...
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good question. I think that's still a field that's in development. I think originally we were seeing product being engineered for quicker growth.
Yes.
So that a 50-year cycle may maybe reduce down to 15 years. I think the jury's still out on whether or not the material meets material stress guidelines that would be in place right now. But as far as how fast a crop can be rotated, certainly genetic engineered materials have been around for a while.
Yeah, I've always kind of gone on the assumption that when it comes to cut lumber products, not engineered products, that they've slowly weakened over time.
Yeah.
You know, I show people this a lot. I've got a 2x4 that I helped salvage out of a barn in Wickenburg, and this 2x4 is just over 100 years old. And I put it, it's the same size. It's actually a little bit shorter than a regular 2x4 because this one is actually a true 2 inches by 4 inches. So the volume is the same, and I put it next to a brand new 2x4 from Home Depot. And this old one is gray and pitted, and it just looks like if you picked it up, it must weigh like a feather. There'd just be nothing in it. And when you pick the two up, it's the Home Depot 2x4 that is like a feather. And the 100-year-old piece, which is such dense old-growth wood, is still—it's twice as heavy as that Home Depot 2x4, and people are just amazed when they see that.
Yeah, and that's what I was getting at in my question: the fertilization and the way you grow the tree, because that's my—I'm in the landscape business, and how we fertilize and how we give the certain nutrition to the plant makes a better plant. So I just wondered if they were doing that to increase the strength.
Yeah, I don't know where that's going in terms of, that's a pretty detailed question. I think some of the forestry people could get into that more. But Ken, hey, I think we're just about out of time, but thanks for coming on. And maybe you could just tell us a little, if there's a little contact information or anything you want to give out while you're here.
Did we lose him? Mr. Ken.
Oh, I think we lost Ken. Well, hey, maybe that was perfect timing.
That was good timing. Well, that was very, very interesting, though. We appreciate Ken Stout for calling in, Stout Precision Development. And I'm sure they could Google him and find out where Ken is. Oh, I think
Absolutely.
Ken is calling back.
Ken?
We may have him. He probably went through a bad zone on his cell phone. Or he went to the number one country. What was that? Colombia. No, that was number 10, Iceland. He went, oh, Ken, you still there?
I got back to you. Thank you.
Oh, there you are. Anyway, we're at the end of the segment. We're glad you called back in because why don't you give out some contact information about your company?
Yeah, thank you. Our website is stoutprecision.com, and I can be reached at ken@stoutprecision.com. And we provide rough carpentry, wood, and steel services for Valley residences and businesses.
Well, thank you so much, Ken, for calling in today, the Green Roundtable. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
All righty. Well, let's take a quick break, and we will do the top 10 sustainable companies. I don't know. Are we going to do the stuff?
No, we're going to do the permaculture.
Oh, you didn't want to lose again. That's why. All right. No.
There's just so much going on this
program change because Dave won the first contest. Okay. Anyway, Frankie, we'll do a permaculture. That should be interesting, and we'll be right back.
Hirschberger Assisted Living Home for the Elderly, whether it's a need to recuperate after surgery or just need daily assistance to enrich their life, you can trust that your loved one is being well cared for. Our caregivers are fully licensed by the Arizona Department of Health. An experienced team of professionals provide expert medical care, including physical, occupational, and recreational therapy, wound care, medication management, nutritional support, and personal care. All faiths are welcome. Hirschberger Assisted Living Home, founded in 1997, will provide your loved ones a quality of life with loving care. Call Shirley Hirschberger today at 602-314-6937. That's 602-314-6937, or visit the website ahomewithshirley.com. Hirschberger Assisted Living, home is where the heart is.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
At Beerenbaum and Speen PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Speen works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Green Roundtable starring Eric Koss and Frank Clemente. And again, thank you to Ken Stout calling in and enlightening
Stout
us.
Stout Precision, yes.
Yes, Stout Precision Development.
Yes.
Nice. So, Frank, you have some interesting comments or insights on permaculture. First of all, what is permaculture for the listeners?
Well, permaculture, according to Bill Mollison, the creator of it, is permanent agriculture. And what do we mean by permanent agriculture is that it continuously produces and it outproduces per acre than most systems. And so that's why, and it includes animals and plants and, of course, weather and soil and insects and this kind of thing, but fundamentally animals and plants.
Hmm. So, Eric, does
so have you seen any animals around? No. Anyway. One of the principles.
Not in the studio.
Okay. Dave, I would like for you to chime in on NLP with this.
I shall.
And I know you're an NLP master.
Yes.
And one of the things that is involved in permaculture principles is you observe and interact. Now, there's a relationship, from how I see it, that relates to permaculture and NLP. When you observe and interact means you go to a site and you watch the natural processes, the sun, the wind, the growth, you know, are there weeds and what the animals do, and if you get into the soil, the microbes and stuff like this. It's all observation, which is fundamentally a scientific approach, is to observe first. So now how does that relate? This system of communication is what it is. You start to develop, delete, generalize, and stuff like that.
See, so. Frank managed to turn it into a quiz still.
Yes, that's true. I think I got this one. What's interesting, observe and interacting in really an ecosystem, right?
Yes.
So in NLP, they have a thing called ecology. And one of the things that you need to do within yourself, we talked about it actually last hour on the bottom line, is to observe and understand the ecology within your own self, because we talked about internal conflicts. And that one of the basis for, well, balanced living and successful living is to be congruent with whatever you're doing versus incongruent. If you're incongruent, that means you may have conflicting parts and like wanting to do something but not wanting to do something, wanting to get up to work today but also wanting to have a vacation. And if you're in that type of frame of mind, you can't do anything well, because half of yourself perhaps is wanting something else while you're doing the thing maybe you think you got to do. But like in poker, all in. Are you all in? It's committed versus involved. It's are you fully committed and just have an incredible passion to do what you do? That's how I see that first concept.
Well, that's are you a pig or a chicken?
Yeah, exactly. I've been called both.
What comments do you have?
What Dave said.
Yes. It did sound pretty
Ditto.
Good.
Ditto. Was right. Well, that's great, because if you have a lot of conflict, which is in an ecological system, then the permaculture doesn't work as well. You know, you don't get the production and the outcome and the productivity from an ecological system. Okay, the next principle is catch and store energy. So we catch and store energy. The sun and water is has energy too, and that helps plants grow. And then there's also the energy of the people and the energy of the animals. For instance, insects produce a certain amount of their energy as insects gives them the power to make changes on the microbe level or whatever. So did you have any comments on catching and storing energy as a permaculture or even an environmental benefit from that concept?
I think from an NLP point of view, what I would say is catch and store energy. Well, I suspect a lot of people get depleted of their energy due to stress. And that's just an energy drain where it's unnecessary, because if you knew how to manage stress, you would also manage your energy. And I think that's real important, but you see people stressed out, especially during this economy, not thinking they have any control over their life. And thus they're depleting energy in which they could use to create more passion and more purposeful life to help others.
Thank you, Dave.
Well, and it's something, too, when you think about building design and construction today. It's sort of a path that I think all designers are going towards, this idea where, you know, we're talking about permaculture and this environment, this ecosystem. It's self-sustaining. It takes care of itself. It's got this circle of life, and buildings kind of reaching that same point where eventually they'll catch and store their own energy. They won't have to come off the grid and kind of being its own self-sustaining environment. So I think they have a lot of these principles that you see here as well.
Nice.
Thank you. Number three principle is obtain a yield. So, you know, you're thinking of farming. How do you obtain a yield? Well, in permaculture, they use a stacking process where you have the tallest tree, a smaller tree, a shrub, and then a ground cover, and they're all producing. It's kind of like a multi-story living structure that's producing food at different levels. So in NLP, how would this relate to NLP, Dave?
Well, if I understand you right, obtain a yield, meaning they all contribute.
They all contribute.
No matter how big or small.
Right.
Okay, so as a whole person, NLP, there's various intervention points. And one is called logical levels, is that the most psychological impactful to the human being is their identity, what their identity is. And then second is beliefs. So if you look at a hierarchy of how one impacts you, negative or positively. If you have a great self-esteem at an identity level, very positive, good confidence, it will impact your belief systems, which is number two. From there, from beliefs to logical levels, you have skill sets, because that will impact your skill sets. You don't want skills without confidence. You want skills with confidence, or you don't want confidence without skills, because just try hiring a pilot that has tremendous confidence
but he can fly,
but no skills as a pilot. And then there's behaviors and environment. The least impactful is environment to the human being. The highest is identity, or actually above identity is the universe.
Right.
Wow.
Thank you.
I cannot add to that.
Well, you can subtract to it. How about subtracting to it?
He just ended with, you know, speaking about the universe, so.
I win again. This is my second win of today.
You get another 6 points for that.
Yeah. I'll give him 10. Come on.
Yeah.
Great. I appreciate that. Okay. Now, natural resources. We all value natural resources. And, you know, we were just talking about the different countries of how they use or not use it. So we have use and value of natural resources and feedback. Now, feedback is an important thing, Dave, right?
Well, in NLP, there's no such thing as failure, only feedback. And if you view it that way, you won't beat yourself up to deplete your energy. You look at everything as feedback so you can improve versus focusing on failure, which then focuses on your identity as, oh, I'm no good, or your beliefs. It's only feedback. You learn from it. You move on. Think of that. There's no such thing as failure, only feedback.
What do they mean exactly by feedback in the sense of permaculture?
The permaculture is the feedback that you get in the natural processes and how the natural processes operate, and you get feedback in terms of, did it produce something? Did it not produce something? That's the feedback that you get. But you also have to apply principle number one, which is observe and interact in order to get the feeling of, is this really working?
Wow, we got the two-minute warning. Can you believe it?
Okay, we'll make this the last question, which I think you've already touched on, and that's produce no waste. And Mr. Stout was talking about something like that with a forest, and then how when he builds things, you know, they minimize waste. So no waste.
No waste means no distractions. Be fully congruent. Know exactly what you want. Eliminate the things in your life that do not really support you in your highest and best. And I don't mean, I mean, obviously you got to prioritize, but knowing your values is what this reminds me of. Stick to your values, stick to your integrity, and you'll have a life full of richness.
And yeah, your outcome and your success and the supply that you want.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Wow, Eric, this was a great show. We only have 1 minute left. Contact information to Mr. Eric Koss.
You can reach us on the web at kossdb.com. That's K-O-S-S, D as in design, B as in build.com. Or you can reach us at info@kossdb.com on the email.
Excellent. Frank Clementi.
And you can reach me at, well, on my website is www.clementidesignisgreen.com.
Oh, I like that. Nice approach. Anyway, thank you, Eric. Thank you, Frank. Everyone, we'll see you next month. Tomorrow, we'll see you at Breakthrough Sports. We got someone calling in all the way from Tennessee, one of the newspapers out there, commenting on the Nashville Predators, Coyotes Predators, tomorrow night in Nashville. Got a reporter. We should rock and roll. Everyone have a good night. See you tomorrow.
Thank you.